This is Phoenix FM.
Now, I try my very best not to cough throughout this interview today, but I'm joined in the studio by the lovely, the one and only Sylvia Kent with this month's book club for, would you believe it, Sylvia, July?
Yes, 19th. This is the 19th time I've come.
Is it really? Yeah. Oh, my Lord, it's going really quick. And we have a guest in the studio. Would you like to introduce the lovely guest we have with us today
as
well?
Yes, I would. We usually go with themes.
Yeah.
And this time it's history, my very favourite subject.
Yeah.
And we have Andrew Summers from Essex 100 Publications with his latest gorgeous book.
Yep.
And he's going to tell you about that in a while.
Good morning, say hello.
Good morning.
People know you're there.
Good morning, pleased to be here, and I'm really pleased to be called lovely and gorgeous.
say that. Now, you are actually, just say you are a history expert. I like that. That was a nice, history expert.
Yes. He actually is going to be very helpful to me in my next book, which I've just signed a nice new contract for. But that's writing. This is a book club, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we've been very busy in Billericay with our readers group, and 20 of us meet once a month. Last month I told you about Sue Townsend's book,
yes.
The Woman Who Went to Bed for a Year, and it was great. I loved it.
Yep.
We all did. You know, usually we have arguments in the book group, but this one we all loved, and it was a very funny book.
Yep.
But the current one I've just finished is Will Self. And it's the Book of Dave. And I hated it. Sorry, Will.
It's a nice recommendation. I hate it. Well, you just get that. Is it his writing style or is it the subject?
He's very clever. This Book of Dave is about an angry, mentally ill London taxi driver named Dave Rudman.
Yeah.
And he goes on and on about Michelle, his ex-wife.
Ooh.
And he rants against women, thoughts on custody rights for fathers, and it really is a very angry book. It's interesting in a way. It's about the knowledge. I love London, and it tells you a bit about the knowledge, and the intimate familiarity with the City of London required of its cabbies. I've known loads of cabbies that used to bring me back from London when I worked in Westminster. Dave buries the text of the book, which is discovered centuries later and used as the sacred text for a dogmatic, cruel and misogynistic religion. It's almost like a Bible.
Yeah.
You know, he buries it, and it covers the time when England is flooded.
Mm.
London is flooded. They always say that the Thames will go over, and it did. And the future portions of the novel are set from 523 AD, which means after Dave. So it's an intriguing book, but I didn't really like it very much.
Did it take you a long time to get through it?
It doesn't. I read very fast, as you know. I write fast and I read fast. But it was very odd. It was written in a funny language called Mockney, which is an invented dialect of English derived from Cockney, as you've probably guessed.
Yep.
Taxi driver's language, lots and lots of swearing, which a lot of our ladies didn't like, lots of text messaging, vocabulary peculiar to the late 20th and early 21st centuries. So it's a book of the future.
Yeah.
Very sad, I felt, but funny in odd ways.
Mm.
Didn't really like it. Don't know what the other lady, we haven't really met to talk about it, because we only meet once a month. But, you know, some of the chaps might like it. I don't know. I'll have to give it to Andrew here and see what he thinks. But, you know, we've all been reading. As I say, I've signed a new contract for my 10th book.
And what's that going to be about?
Well, it's a history book about Barking and Dagenham.
Oh, right.
And the history there is fantastic, as I'm sure Andrew will mention, because he's covered a bit of it in his book. And the latest on our London group of writers is we have a new president called Victoria Wood.
Yes.
So I'm to interview her soon. And, you know, it's a nice look to the future, because we are 120 years old next year.
Yeah.
So we have wonderful celebrations in London. So that's a bit of reading, a bit of writing. Now over to my friend Andrew Summers.
So just thank you for coming in today. Sylvia always brings in lovely guests with her when she comes into the studio. So that's my favourite, that's the only word I can use really, is lovely. I do say other words, but I won't say them on air. But it's lovely, wonderful, and all the rest of it to have you in the studio. So before we talk about your books, when did you actually start writing?
Well, we started writing back in 2007, and we produced our first book called The Essex Hundred, which we decided to do something completely different and wrote the history of the county covering 2,000 years in poetry.
Yep.
We then moved on from that because people liked the poetry with the facts. We moved on and did a book called The Essex Hundred Histories. As an adjunct to that, we then did a colouring book, an activity book for children.
Yep.
Then we did a book called On This Day in Essex, which was a day-by-day record of various events in Essex. And then we moved on to, I'd say, is probably the one we're proudest of, which is London's Metropolitan Essex.
That's just since 2007. So before that, had you actually written before? It was just something that you had always wanted to do?
Started in 2007 quite by accident. Before that, I was involved in international sales. Well, I'm still am involved in international sales and export and international affairs.
Yep.
Very interested in that. And it was only following a local history trip around Hadley, which wasn't very good, that got me interested in history. So it was really quite by accident.
That's amazing. Because a lot of people come in when they say, well, I've been writing since I was about 2 years old and I started off doing it. Mm. But that gives everybody hope, really.
Oh yes, well my dad did a book and he was 96 when he did it, so there's hope for everybody.
Oh, what was your dad's book?
He did he was kept in captivity by the Russians at the outset of the Second World War, and he produced memoirs after that, and after much to-ing and fro-ing, got it into print about 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And he lived to see it come into print and actually attended the book signing.
Oh, right. What was his name?
Kazimierz Szmaus. Now, I'm half Polish, but he anglicised his name to Summers.
Oh, right. Oh, excellent. Well, there we go. We will put those details up, actually, on the website when we edit the interview. So, because that's a fantastic thing to have your dad have a book that's 96.
So there's hope for everybody.
Yeah, there certainly is. Now, tell us about the book, Metropolitan, this book here. This is the latest book, Metropolitan Essex.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about this book.
What I was going to do, basically, is try and put this into context. The book covers, in general, the five London boroughs, which are Newham, Barking and Dagenham, Redbridge, Waltham Forest, Havering and Redbridge, which were once in Essex but are now in London.
Yep.
And to try and put this into context, we've written a little poem which is about 60 seconds long, which will try and encompass the whole lot.
Yep.
So it's called Snatched from Essex. From Harwich westwards to Middlesex in England's fair isles, the kingdom of the East Seacs stretched for 80 miles. Alfred the Great had vanquished the Vikings in the Essex countryside, and so established the River Lee as the Great Divide. However, over the centuries, as the metropolis spread, the issue of governance gradually came to a head. In Walthamstow and West Ham, mutiny was in the air, citing rule from faraway Chelmsford completely unfair. While Essex clung on, London's tentacles reached east. The LCC was formed, unleashing a great beast. But still for 1,000 years since Saxon times did Essex survive, until another great change in the year of our Lord, AD 1965. For years the great and the good argued and raged, committees and commissions sat, even the public were engaged. But at a stroke, Shire Hall no longer held Essex in its sway. Its land was grabbed and 1 million people taken away. But even with the passing of time 2 generations on, the Essex spirit lives and perhaps will never be gone. From Dagenham to Ilford to Romford, Londoners in their view still feel the Essex men and women through and through.
Excellent, lovely.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's wonderful. Right, we're going to take a very, very short break. We're going to be coming back and talking more to you, Andrew. That's fabulous. We've got some more extracts as well coming up.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
coming up to 11:48. I'm joined in the studio by a local writer, Sylvia Kent. Hello, Sylvia. You look like daydreaming
hello,
there.
Hello.
You're daydreaming away in the corner. And Andrew Summers as well. Yeah. You just reading out some poetry before we went to the break. So tell us a little bit more about how can people get hold of the book, and can you give us a little bit more about the book as well?
Well, the London's Metropolitan Essex is available in every bookstore, or can be got from every bookstore that are still around, or you can get it directly from us, Essex 100 Publications, or you can go to that great cyber purveyor of books in cyberspace named after Brazilian River.
Yes.
Amazon.
It's just too easy to go on there. It's dreadful. I'm a big fan of the guy. I was saying to Sylvia, I'm such a big fan of the Kindle. It's because it's to, except I need a proper book if I'm in the bath. Yes. You cannot take a Kindle into the bath with you.
Yeah, don't drop a Kindle in the bath.
No, it's asking for trouble, really.
Good idea.
So I do like, but there's nothing, as I said, there's nothing nicer when you, because I see your books are all brand new, that you just have that thing where you just open a book and
love
it's not
book.
Been,
yeah. Love a book. And Andrew, of course, has been book signing around Essex. Tell the listeners, Andrew, where you've been.
Yes, well, we're thinking of getting a T-shirt done with the Essex, Metropolitan Essex book signing tour. And we started off in Hadley, and we did a local place in Hadley. Then we've been to Waterstones in Southend. We've been to the Village Bookshop in Woodford, along to Swan's Book in Upminster. We'll be going to Valence House before too long to do a book signing there.
Yep.
And other places that I can't think of immediately.
What do you live in Essex? Obviously,
I live in Hadley, which is still in Essex. Yes.
What do you have? You always lived in this kind of area? I mean, I know you were saying about your father, but have you lived here since you were quite small?
No, I used to live in Hackney Wick, which was just in Middlesex, just across the River Lee from the old Metropolitan Essex.
Yep.
But my dad had an allotment in Stratford, which was in Metropolitan Essex, and believe it or not, his allotment is under where the Olympic Stadium now stands.
Oh, wow. I tell you what, I've got a lot of people of my age group, and obviously older than me, that have got allotments. They've come real back into people wanting to grow their own fruit and vegetables, and it's really picked up. If there's anybody out there, actually, that's got an allotment and like to come in, because I'd love to be able to grow stuff. I'm a bit really bad in the garden, but I'd like you to grow stuff, don't you? You've got lots of fruit and vegetables.
I could have bought you a marrow.
I tell you what, those ones you brought me in before, what did you bring me before?
Courgettes.
The courgettes. I've not eaten courgettes for years, and I just did them a little bit of garlic butter. Yeah. I scoffed a lot. Yeah. They were lovely.
I've bought you some strawberry jam over there.
I haven't tried my chutney yet. You said
you
to me,
"You can now eat it."
Oh, thank God for that. She brought me some chutney, Andrew, about 4 weeks ago. She said, "Don't open it yet." I was like, "Couldn't you brought it in just when I can?"
Potatoes were my dad's speciality. Oh. We used to have a year's supply of potatoes produced on the allotment. That's all he seemed to grow.
Yeah. And how do you store with potatoes? I don't know. Can you just store them in the dark
We just grew earlies.
Yeah.
So we had them when other people, when they were about a pound.
Yeah.
The main crop we never bothered with because, we get them from the farm anyway.
Yeah.
A great big sack of them.
Just a good air ventilated larder.
Yep.
Just a soft little voice.
Get straight. You've got a soft little voice. You need to get right on top of that microphone.
Yeah.
I don't. I have a horrible booming voice. So you've got your who you're going to be meeting Victoria Wood, which I think I don't know if about you, Andrew, but I think she is absolutely she writes such
an
amazing writer. That must be quite a coup for you.
She?
Yeah.
And Andrew just gave us a bit of poetry, which I'm so impressed with because I can't do that.
Yeah.
But she does it too and really makes people laugh.
Yes.
And she's going to be our president, so she will be there. We had Nina Borden, but poor Nina died last year and Victoria has taken her place. And we've got Shirley Williams as the ultimate person in charge, our president. But Victoria is going to be our proper president.
We saw Victoria Wood at the Eclipse Pavilion some years ago, and she's really good because she comes in perhaps just a little while before, and then she can assess the whole town
in
a very short space of time and then put it all into act.
Yeah.
So, so it's all
clever.
Local.
Yeah. So clever. Yeah. And it's words and music, as you know. Yeah. And that appeals to you, of course, because you're a musician too, aren't you?
Yes, but not quite like she is. But I, the thing I like about it, because she'd be slightly risque, but she's not filthy rude. What I find, I'm just saying going off subject here, but I went to see a comedian last year who was very, very good. Now, he is very, very rude, as in he says very inappropriate things, but he's funny. But what I don't like about female comedians is when it's always about women and they kind of put the whole it's all about women and women's problems. I can't bear it. And this woman was on stage doing this, and I just sat there and I didn't laugh. I just sat there and I glared at the stage because it's not clever. Victoria Wood is clever because her humour cuts across everybody. You know, she's just, it's very, very funny. So I think I'd like get me an interview.
I'll say come up for lunch or whatever.
Ask. You never know. If you don't ask, you don't get.
That's right.
Well, I've got jams and courgettes and all sorts of things. So what other things are you going to be working on together, you two? Are you getting together from other...
Well, no, because Andrew lives in Hadley.
Yeah.
And I live, as you know, in Billericay. And I've been doing short stories. They're being sent off. Also, we've had the 2013 Art Trail in Billericay. 11 days.
Yeah.
Try to get to most of the events. It's been really, really good. You don't realise the talent that's around you.
Yeah.
And the gentleman sitting here, of course, and he probably knows too from his area. Southend put on wonderful things. Andrew?
Oh, the Southend is a hotbed of cultural these days. It's got its new cultural centre on the pier, but then round Lee, it's got its arts trail. But I must actually put a plug in for the Hadley Art Trail this year, which will be in October, and we're going to take a number of illustrations and photographs out of our books, which will go in as an exhibit in Hadley Library for the Hadley Art Trail. So it's a hotbed of culture, Southeast Essex.
Yes, we used Elizabeth Lord, our local author. She's done 25 books, and she gave a very good performance the other week, the start of the trail. So we had literature, and we had painters and engravers, and it was wonderful. It's really been good. I think I gave a plug as it was coming up, but you weren't here that day, I don't think.
No, I was probably almost another day I've missed.
Yeah.
Only because not being very well. So just go through your list of books again, because you've got a few books, Andrew, so just give us a list of the books that you've done.
Well, we've got... let's go. We've got the Essex 100, which was our first one, produced in 2007, which is Essex in 100 poems. Then we've got Essex 100 Histories, which is 100 stories from Essex.
Yep.
We have the Essex 100 Children's Colouring and Activity Book. And On This Day in Essex is a day-by-day record of what goes on in Essex.
Yep.
And then we have this latest one here in our Essex 100 series, London's Metropolitan Essex. But I was going to say, with Sylvia working on her Barking and Dagenham books, there are some really fascinating stories.
Can you give us a little snippet? Are you allowed to do a little snippet?
We can, but I don't quite know exactly what Sylvia will be covering in it. But, I mean, if we take stuff out of our existing book, we've got obscure facts like Barking at one time had the biggest fishing fleet in the world.
Yes, really? I'm covering that.
Oh,
yes. But also Elizabeth Fry. Tell them about the £5 note.
Tell them, yes. Elizabeth Fry is our current lady on the £5 note. She came from East Ham, Plashett in East Ham, and she's been on there. Great prison reformer. Mm. And she was put on there in 1992 from memory. She's going to be taken off shortly and replaced by Winston Churchill, who, funny enough, his last constituency he represented was Wanstead and Woodford, which is another metropolitan Essex, so we've got connections continuing with the £5 note.
Yeah.
But Elizabeth Fry was really important in getting a lot of social reform done in the 18th century, where you could be, as a woman, you could be hung for sort of like
doing anything.
200
200
odd offences.
Yes.
And she came to Brentwood. So we'll be using that. I think I've used that in an article. But one of the most important things for me is right at the very beginning, and Andrew and John Debenham explain what the 100 is. You've seen it. You've seen Chafford 100.
Yeah.
Not too far from you.
Yeah.
And have you never wondered about what 100 means?
Yeah, I did actually,
it's,
yeah.
It's fantastic. And I don't know if we have time in a while, but Andrew explains the whole thing, what 100 is in terms of length, yes, width.
Without going into too much technical details, 100 was an ancient Saxon measure of land.
Oh, right.
It had its own court for local things, and it administered that area of land. And the actual area of land was slightly flexible, but it started off with being 100 families or 100 extended families, which had then its own 100 court. And over the years, it simply developed and was still in existence until 1900.
Yeah.
Because if you look at old Essex maps, they still do have the hundreds of Essex. Now, the odd thing is, the hundreds of Essex, there's only 17 of them.
Yeah.
There were never 100 of them. It's just the 100 was a definition of an area of land. Now, quite where the term came from, nobody seemed to quite know. It may have come from Scandinavia. It might have been based on a Roman centurion 100.
Yep.
Sometimes the centurions only had 70 people in their 100. So it's very, as you go further back, it's very difficult to establish what it was. But simply, it was an area of land.
Excellent. Right. Well, that ties us very nicely up coming to the news. But thank you very much for Andrew Summers for coming in. We'll put all your book details.